Mr. Alan Shufflebottom, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about, you know, the period before your call. Obviously, you did your medicals and the sort of other tests at Blackpool in August, 42. Anything else between
just your usual. I kept up all my ATC training and went and took an advantage of going to an ATC camp before I went back into... I went to Blackpool for my medicals. Go the other thing.
How did your dad react? Because he told you not to join, earlier in 41. How did he react to...
He was quite reconciled.
Why? What had changed?
Well, he knew that I would have had to go if I'd been called up. And he knew that there was nothing could stop me anyhow.
So it was... Before, it was just about volunteering a year early. It was once you knew you were going to be called up anyway and probably end up in the army.
Yes, he was quite reconciled to it because he knew...
So you were called up... So Blackpool was August. Now, what happens next after the medical tests? You're actually called up in September, are you?
Yes, I was very lucky because they were waiting for usually about four or five months then. But mine came through a month later, after my medicals.
And where did you have to go in September?
I went to a crew reception centre at Regent's Park. That was, you actually reported at Lord's Cricket Ground. Incidentally, Boy, I forget about Blackpool.
That's the medicals.
Yeah, for the medicals, we had to have rooms in one of the boarding houses in Blackpool, and there were five of us, and we were all put in one room, three in one bed, and two in the other, and we found out why, the built boarding house owner was renting the rooms out to visitors to Blackpool and using our rations. So all the food we got was bread and jam and a cup of tea. And the residents are saying, "Ooh, the food is cracking." We weren't very happy about that.
Now, what happened when you got to Lords then?
Lords, I got this letter, of course, of Jason saying he was being an airman, is he? And then we went to Lords, and then they put us into sections. And
Based on what? They put you into sections, you
say? Yes, about... each section was allocated to a block of very exclusive flats in Regent's Park.
So it's just to sort you into groups?
Yes, it sort you into groups. And we went along to Abbey... our flat was in Abbey Lodge in Regent's Park. And I hate to think how much it would cost to buy one of those flats nowadays.
What were they like?
All of them. They were very Spartan. Of course, all the furniture had been taken out, and we just had the usual metal beds and little bedside cupboards. Well, because all our clothes were being put into suitcases, and... were issued with our basic uniforms.
Now, do you remember about what were you kitted out with? If you remember, because it's all different now.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
Right. Two shirts, two vests, two underpants, two pairs of socks, two pairs of boots, your uniform trousers, one pair of trousers, one jacket with the brass buttons, one forage cap, a woolen cap, which was called a cap comforter, and and a pair of mittens. And that was it.
And did it fit?
Yep. Yes, it fitted. Yes, mine. But when you needed some little adjustments, obviously they couldn't fit everyone up perfectly, but they were good uniforms.
And what else were they doing? So, you know, there's a couple of that first couple of days.
Well, the first two or three days, you got yourself acclimatized to the area, and got you shaped up into drill.
You said, is this where you did?
I had my hair cut three times a week.
Now, tell me about that.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Sergeant Kevin, haircut. The barber absolutely fed up with seeing me.
And was it short? I mean, presumably it was pretty short. It was just short back and sides, was it?
Yeah, it was pretty short. Anyhow, free of... and then, of course, had dental inspection, which was a disaster for me.
Why?
Because I'd had... when I was a youngster... I'd had a very sweet tooth, and the net result was I'd had a fair number of fillings, and I went to see my dentist before I went in and into the service, and I said, "Now I want my teeth to be absolutely perfect," and when I went to, full of confidence. And then the dentist said all the lot out, and all the fillings were removed. And he said once you start flying, he said you'll get toothache. He said these fillings are no good.
Why not? I mean, did he put new ones in?
He put new ones in, yeah.
What was the difference, though?
I don't know, but he did the trick, and I still got my same teeth now. Or virtually the same thing. Anyhow, the inevitable injections.
Now, how did they affect you? Because some people took bad with them.
Yes, they did. I was very lucky. They just made me feel sick for a day. They gave you a day to lie down, because they had a rotten habit of using the same needle, sticking the needle in, and then interchanging the injections. So you sort of got a nasty big red mark on you, and a throbbing arm, you know, and one thing and another. So it wasn't too bad.
Were you doing it? Now, you were air crew. Did you know what type of air crew at this stage?
Well, the ATC said he's going to be a navigator.
Now, what?
I know the...
What? Why navigator? Why not a pilot or gunner or what?
Well, I haven't got any eye convergency, but I'll tell you more about that later on. And
so, right from the start, you were always going to be trained as a navigator. That was all. You knew that.
I knew that. My parents, who used to come down to the ATC on the open days, and a lot of my work was on exhibition, and the CO said to my father, said his son's going to be a navigator.
And how did you feel about that? Was that what you wanted, or would you rather have had a... Did you know you
were... I'd like to be a pilot.
But did you know you couldn't be? Did you know you had this?
No, I didn't know it.
But you were still... It didn't matter. You were going to be a navigator anyway.
Yeah. Hmm.
Now, what did you do any training at Lords?
Not really.
Any drill or PT?
Drilling. Intensive drilling.
Now, how was it any different?
No, not no, because I was so P-18 squadron. The drilling was good there, you see. So, and yeah, I took it to like a duck to water, no problems.
And what about PT?
Oh yes, plenty of PT.
What kind of thing? What were you doing?
Nothing by the standards I do nowadays. But it was all running, jumping, deep breathing exercises, push-ups and what have you. Usual sort of thing.
And what about, was there any bombing going on in London at the time?
No, nothing at all.
So it's quiet time. Yeah. Anything else about your time there? Oh, how did you get on with the other recruits? That's important.
Well, I was very, very lucky. I got in with five really super lads.
And what was so good about? Were they from the same area as you? What attracted you to them?
Well, no, we just started talking to each other, and we got them like a house on fire, because they all put us in the same room, and we. We'd all got tidy minds, let's put it that way. We were used to having our kit properly stowed and everything. We weren't scruffy, but we came from different parts. One of them ended up as headmaster of Sleaford Agricultural College, and there's a lad from Liverpool. And we always got on well with us. When we went on the toughening up course at Ludlow, we all got in the same tent as well.
Now, when was that? While you were at St John's Wood, you went there, or Lords? You went to
Lords.
Ludlow.
Well, Lords. The big thing about Lords was payday.
Tell me about payday. Then.
Payday. You got 14 shillings for 2 weeks' work.
And what would happen at payday? Why was it a big deal?
Well, it was you were flat broke by that time. Yeah, so that was a very big deal. And
what would happen on payday then?
Well, you'd all get lined up in according to your names, and of course my name was, I was pretty low down with a big shuffle bottom, and paymaster would say, shuffle bottom, and you had to give your last three, which was 1588790. So you say, 790, sir. Said, right, 14 shillings. And then you had to take the money, take two pages back, salute, and walk away back to. But past the pilot officer at a little card table trying to sell you savings stamps when you got your 14 shillings for 2 weeks' work.
Anything else happened in London? Did you go out much? I mean,
we went
still teetotal then, but I mean, what would you do?
Oh, we went to the Forces Scott clubs. And
now, what were the Forces clubs like?
They were very good. They were a lot better than the Americans turned up, of course. We weren't allowed.
So what was the Forces club?
Well, it was more or less a glorified YMCA for the upper ranks. They could get, there was alcohol available in them, and usually a piano, and there was someone who could tinkle away, and everyone had a sing-song, things like that. And then, of course, you'd go to the cinema as well.
Was the cinema big then? Were you fond of the cinema?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, you used to. Mainly in London. London, it was mainly the cinemas. Oh, and sometimes I went to a theatre as well, because you get a concession of your seats for sixpence. Sixpence and a shilling.
That was good value then.
Oh, good value.
Now, how long were you at Lourdes? You got there in September.
3 weeks.
So, just about September then.
Yeah.
So, where did you go next? Was that Ludlow or was it Ludlow later on?
Ludlow, straight away.
Yeah. Now, what were you doing at Ludlow? What was the unit called at Ludlow?
Well, it's just a toughening up course on the canvas.
A PT course. It wasn't a unit then. It didn't have a name.
No. You had really brutal NCOs, and they marched you from the station from Ludlow about 2 miles out to these camps where you were under canvas, and you were then issued with boiler suits, boiler suits, and you really roughed it. You really did.
In what way? Now, well, it was tense first. So what this is, late September, October.
Very cold. Very cold. Very cold.
So what's the tent like? What's it like living in a tent then?
Well, I was used to the cadet camps. So, it wasn't too bad.
So what was the toughening up thing? What was so bad about it? What were you doing?
I was making concrete reading blocks. To make cockroaches. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. I'm going to a piece now. we thought we were making cottages for people, and they turned out to be pig's size. But you'd go out in the morning, which was freezing cold, and have to break the ice on the pump we brought the water through to make your breeze box, and everyone was the teeth chattering. it's very hard for a lad who'd not been used to bricklaying in freezing water.
And when was this? It sounds a bit cold for October. Was it a bit later?
It was perishing cold.
But it was October.
Yeah, because at that time it had snowed on the Welsh mountains, and we on one summer day we thought we'd go and have a swim. I jumped in the river, and we jumped out of them very quickly. But it's you had to muck in with everything. You did all the washing the tin plates and things that you were given in greasy water. it knocked the corners off you.
And how long was this course for?
About 3 weeks.
So just into October then?
Yes, it's just they closed it down in November because of the weather.
And anything else about the course? Were you doing anything else, or was it just building these pigsties?
Well, we were.
Any other sort of things they made you do?
Well, emptying toilets and doing the washing up. And clean the kitchens out. And
so general fatigues?
General fatigues all the time. Very fortunately, if you could, the citizens of Ludlow were very kind.
In what way?
In letting us have baths in their houses. And It was a great relief to go and, into a nice house and have a good hot bath when you've been slogging away in mud and filth for a few days.
So they were friendly?
They were very friendly indeed. And of course, they used to have little concerts in one of the halls in Ludlow. And you could, we're chappies play classical gramophone records and what have you. And it was all very nice.
So what happened next then? Where did you go after Ludlow?
Ludlow, well then they went out for your initial training then. Now you went into, you had no choice. You go to Scarborough, Torquay, but I went to Stratford-on-Avon.
So it's an initial training wing, Stratford-on-Avon. Do you know what number it was?
Yes, I've got it here. No, I haven't done for it. Oh, wait a minute. Got all the names on the back. Yes. It was Stratford-on-Avon, and...
And you went there in about, what, October, November?
Yes. And you could see we were pretty smart in those days.
Now, tell us what you were doing at the initial training wing.
that was intensive navigation work, aircraft recognition.
Well, let's take aircraft recognition first, then. So how do they train you in aircraft recognition?
They had models hanging from the ceilings, and you had to guess what they were. And then, of course, they used to try you with night vision, where they put you in a darkened room for about 10 minutes with goggles on, and then they used to put silhouettes on the screen, and you had to guess what they were.
Now, could you do this with your eye problem?
Oh, yes, we could.
Yep.
And also, of course, they taught you gun rem and how to take a machine gun to pieces and put it together again in darkness, and then how to change the feed on the gun from left to right.
Now, what gun were you training on?
Browning 303s. That was a typical turret gun.
Did you get to fire it, or were you just learning how to sort of...
No, you used to handle it. The only gun we used to fire would be a Vickers gas-operated with a circular, rather like a Lewis gun.
And what would you fire?
We had a little Canadian rifle issued to us as well.
A personal rifle?
Not a personal one. You just hand them out at the armoury when you went out to the shooting range. So you they taught you how to use a rifle. Which I was fairly good at. I was a good, fairly good rifle shot, but it was a lousy shotgun shot. You have skeet shooting, and I'd be red hot if it was coming at me or going away from me, but a cross shot, I wasn't very good at it.
That's your usual problem?
Yeah, that's it. But I didn't know it at the time. I found it out very shortly afterwards.
Was the shotgun? This is just in case you had ever had to be an air gunner, I presume.
Yes. Oh, yes. Because when the whole lot of us here, we were all joined up on what they called a PMB scheme.
Now, what's the PMB scheme?
Well, that's pilot, navigator, or bomb aimer. And failing all the three, you became an air gunner.
So they taught you a bit of gunnery anyway. So
indeed.
You did aircraft. What about navigation? You said you did some navigation. How far? I mean, you've done a lot of navigation with
you. Yes,
so how did you find the navigation training?
It's very, very good because they put little problems in for you as well. You know, judging. quick wind change in one thing and another. Fluctuation of height, and you had to work all these things out very quickly.
Theoretically, you're on the ground, aren't you?
Yeah.
Anything else you trained in there?
Well, another good thing too. They had trained two navigators against each other. One had the right courses, one had the wrong ones, and then you had to follow it out for each one. So it's, eventually we both came out on a parallel course. It's all very, very clever. Oh, and then I came up against Morse code, of course, which was very sophisticated, and I was very, very nervous with my Morse code.
Still?
Very, at that time. I was given a test, and I didn't know it was a test, and I didn't know that an instructor was standing right behind me, and the operator banged it out at 15 words a minute. And as soon as I'd taken it all down, the instructor whipped my paper away and gave me a bollocking. He said, "What are you trying to flunk the course?" He said, "You passed it 15 words a minute and you've been failing it 10. So it was nerves.
It was just nerves. You could do it.
I could do it and I was nervous.
You just couldn't do it under pressure.
Yeah, couldn't do it under pressure.
Which is perhaps a bad sign for in an aeroplane.
Yes, it was indeed at that time, because I knew it was my weak point, and they found a loophole there. But anyhow, I came round to it.
What do you think of the instructors generally? That sounds pretty helpful of him to you. I mean, he'd taken the effort.
Yeah. Oh yes, they were very good.
What was so good about them?
Well, for instance, take this. That was our CO, Flight Lieutenant Cook, and he'd know any lad had a problem, he'd get down and talk to them. So he was always accessible. And this is our drill sergeant, or drill corporal, Corporal Foy, and he'd got a perforated arm, eardrum, and he was hoping to go back into flying afterwards. Unfortunately, he didn't. He got killed, unfortunately. But we fought the world of him. Absolutely. They were really good instructors.
So they were fair.
Yeah. And when we used to, one of the things we did was what they call continuity drill. And you see this usually at a royal tournament. And there's only one word of command, and that's marker. And when you form up on the marker, and you do 25 different moves without a word of command, and it's absolutely marvellous. Really, we used to beg the corporal to do it, and let us do it. And we used to do our parades outside the National Shakespeare Memorial Theatre. There's a big square there, and we used to do it, and there used to be a big crowd turned up. And we'd please, let's do it, you know. And it was, we were immaculate. And then what would happen when we'd done the movement, and the crowd were all applauding and we'd give him an encore. He'd pass the hat round and we'd all go to the local cafe and have tea and cakes. But it was the esprit de corps was unbelievable.